afternoon. You are listening to The Scoop on CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and podcasting on Spotify and iTunes. I'm Kareem Mosna. Kingston City Council had a meeting last Tuesday, August 9th, and a big part of the discussion was around the sleeping cabin program. Council directed city staff to open up public consultations with residents in the neighborhoods near Rideau Marina, as well as the residents near Rodden Park. To provide some more context, here is Councillor Ryan Boehm from the city council meeting.
So I know I've heard from some residents on this, and I think one of the key things to mention on this is that there is a community engagement process, so there'll be more details that come out on that. With any initiative like this, I know it's been a success in other parts of the city, but there's always going to be lots of questions that go with it. So that engagement process is a key part of this entire process to really ensure that, you know, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And there's already been some questions that have come forward out of this where they may not have been questions that came up in other areas, simple things such as like access to transit, access to grocery stores, and some of those little things which maybe were easier in other locations. And they may seem like simple questions, but as the community engages on this, it really ensures that it is truly a fleshed out process and that we can actually get the best sites going forward. And the key thing on this, and I know that Councillor Doherty would agree with this, I'm sure, is that community engagement is what's going to also create community buy-in for the sites that are selected, and ensuring that that engagement process unfolds and that people truly feel that their concerns are answered or their questions or their suggestions are part of the process is how we ensure that wherever these go, that they're successful. And I think one of the key things to remember with this is that these are staffed sites, resources are available, and I know at times there can for some reason become an association between this program and some of the challenges we've had at the ICH, and they are two distinct programs and they need to be treated as such, and that these are people that are actually paying rent. There's a process to qualify, and in the end, I know we're going to hear some of them as this engagement process unfolds, but there are numerous success stories that have come out of this of people who have lifted themselves through this program out of poverty and are now gainfully employed and are now renting an apartment somewhere else in the city. So I think those success stories are what we need to key in on this and actually engage the community to hear part of the process as part of the process and allow them to hear some of the benefits that have come out of this from those members themselves.
Councillor Ryan Boehm talking about the upcoming public consultations on the sleeping cabin program. Now, three other locations were included in the report to council. They include the city-owned 367 Gore Road, as well as Division at Elliott Avenue, and the Harold Harvey Center. CAO Lainey Hurdle explains.
So they're not completely out of the picture, but they do have additional challenges. So some of them, for example, have other community, active community uses, such as the Harold Harvey Center. And we do have some that are also far more expensive, such as a Gore Road property, because it would require servicing. So those are not out of the picture, but they're not preferred for a variety of reasons as described in the report.
Staff have identified Rideau Marina as the preferred site, which can accommodate 20 cabins with no cost to the city. Council also directed city staff to purchase a modular common building to deliver sleeping cabin services with $266,000 in funding from the Housing and Homelessness Reserve. Consultations are set to begin in September, and council is due to report back to staff in the fall. The sleeping cabin program is to run year-round for up to 3 years. Council approved an award of contract to help the first conversion therapy survivor support program in Canada to expand. For more details on what this expansion will mean, I spoke with the executive director and founder of CT Survivors Connect, Ben Rogers. Ben, please, for those not familiar, tell me about the CT Survivors program.
So it's our organization is called CT Survivors Connect. We became federally recognized back in February, and the original premise was to create a support group and service provision for people, survivors of conversion therapy practices. And this is for people all across Canada. And with the funding that we actually just got, this gives us an opportunity to have a home base.
In Kingston?
Yeah.
Excellent. And let's talk a bit about that funding. So this funding, what exactly is this going to create?
So we started the support group actually last July. And what this is going to do is give us more opportunity to broaden this support group and make it more accessible for people. And what I mean by that is we are looking to expand to have a multilingual or bilingual, I should say, support group offering, because we have had some people who are French speaking that are interested in the support group as well, but I'm only speak English. So we are looking to actually expand on that to make that a possibility coming soon. And having the funding is going to help us have people that we can, you know, potentially pay in the need of those situations as well. Something that we are looking into, hopefully we'll get some help from the health teams in the near future, but we would also like to get a support worker on our staff.
Really, this is going to help break down some barriers and make the program more accessible and provide additional services that that are currently not there.
Exactly. Like just as a prime example, we are working on some educational pieces. And so these will be like CT 101s that we can administer to people in the educational sector, people in the health sector, people in law and law enforcement. And we're actually working on our requests right now and the ask from those different sectors as to what's needed by survivors. And, you know, so we're trying to make our programs available, accessible, and, you know, open to, you know, not just survivors, but to the public as well. Now, the support group will just be for survivors, but, you know, we need to be able to educate people as well.
Now, is this the first group of its kind in Canada?
Yes, the only in Canada at the moment.
Yes. And okay. So this is really this award of contract, definitely a significant, for those locally, of course, within Kingston, Belleville and all of that, but also beyond that.
100%. Like what I realized when I was working to get the law in place was that we literally had nothing to help support us. And the education doesn't exist. Like the only educational pieces that exist, well, even technically exist, are like surveys and stuff like that from places like CBRC and SFU out in the West Coast and like No Conversion Canada out in Ottawa. Like they've done research projects and have gotten some of the statistics, but there's no real educational pieces to teach anyone what this is and why the harms are there and why we need to get rid of them.
Anything else you'd like to share about the program?
Honestly, I just want to say that this is a for survivors by survivors program. Like I am a survivor myself, and I realized that there's nothing to help us out there and we needed that. So I'm bringing it forward, and we've created a support group where survivors have a sense of community and you can come and be who you are and not be afraid of that. There's no judgment, there's no harm, and we believe in a safe, respectful space at all times. This is open to anybody that is in need, or even if you're not sure, you are more than welcome to reach out. We have a current website, which we're working on upgrading, which is also where these funds are going to definitely help us out. We have our email address, c.t.survivorsconnect@gmail.com. And we have our group on Facebook as well, which is where you can find the meetings. So honestly, just if you know anyone or are someone that, you know, is a survivor or is undergoing this at the time, don't hesitate to reach out. There's someone here for you.
That was Ben Rogers, Executive Director and founder of CT Survivors Connect. You're listening to The Scoop on CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and podcasting through Spotify and iTunes. I'm Kareem Mosna. The Kick and Push Theater Festival continues, and our community news and arts coordinator, Christina Laurie, had the chance to cover Lakeside Players' production of Robin Hood. She spoke with director Jack Rennie and one of the members of the cast.
This is Chris coming in with your arts news updates. Today, we have a full interview with director Jack Rennie and performer Anna Villeneuve in Lakeside Players' rendition of Robin Hood. For this year's Kick and Push Theater Festival, they're performing Robin Hood outdoors all around Kingston. So without further delay, here's Anna and Jack on Lakeside Players, Robin Hood, Performing Arts Post-Pandemic, and more.
So you guys just came back from a performance, actually. How did that go?
It went quite well. We're set up in a park up in Rideau Heights right now, so in Shannon Park. And the first shows that we're doing as part of this tour to Kingston and in and around Kingston is actually to do kind of pop-up performances for free around the city, just to get theater to audiences that don't normally get access to it, or neighborhoods where it wouldn't normally be. So we were in Lake Ontario Park before, just popping up there, and now we're in Shannon Park before we finish in City Park next week.
Very nice. And with Lakeside Players, is this your second show as a team?
Well, this is, Anna has just joined us.
Whoa,
this
okay.
year. So she's the new, our newest member for this show. We built Robin Hood last year at the Kick and Push Festival in Kingston. Many of that group has returned, as well as we have one cast member who's come out from British Columbia. As we were just out there doing Robin Hood on the West Coast, and so he actually just came out and is continuing the show here now.
Very nice. And last year, were you guys in person for Kick and Push?
We were.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were actually in person doing a different show with the Kick and Push in 2020.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I know Kick and Push did a lot in person, which was really surprising.
Yeah.
Must have been nice.
Because we do shows outdoors, it meant that we were able to try and like go for it at a time when numbers are really low. So we kind of had this sweet spot. So we managed to do a few shows in person, which was really special.
Yeah, definitely. Was that one of the sort of the few shows that managed to make it through? Or do you guys do everything outside?
We do outdoor work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How did Lakeside Players come together in the first place?
So, I, Jack, and my friend Sean, we run this company together. We lived together. We went to school together. So we're old pals. And, you know, it's tough making theater. It's very restrictive, mainly just talking about money. But, like, just getting a space is so expensive.
Yeah,
that's the first and biggest barrier, which means you have to charge more for the tickets, which means suddenly it's harder for people to see it. So we lived in an apartment building that on the second floor, and we had this kind of balcony facing out onto the street, and I had been working and touring doing street theater for a number of years before that. So I kind of said, let's just do a show. Let's just do something that has a balcony in it, and we'll do something fun and silly for the community for free. We'll just do something. And we had like $100, and we threw something together, and that was the show that we brought in 2020 to Kingston a few years later. So that's how it started, as this free community event. And it's just been kind of picking up steam from there. We do very silly things. And so we're just trying to make people laugh and have a good time, especially with COVID and stuff going on for so long.
Yeah, absolutely. And Anna, you said you just joined. So how did you end up with
Lakeside
Players?
So I auditioned for them last year whenever they brought Robin Hood here. And then, you know, things went another way. And this year they reached out to me and they said, hey, like, we remember you from last year. We would love to see you again for this part that we're casting. And so I sent in a tape and here I am. And I'm so, so happy to be here. It's my first time back, like, on a stage, I guess you could say on a stage, you know, out in the park doing live theater since COVID. And it's really, like, I forgot how much I love it, even though, you know, I didn't really forget, but, like, my body forgot. And now I'm here and I'm in it and I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, so happy to be doing this.
Yeah. A lot of performers have been saying, like, how exciting it is to be back and everything. So you were saying you didn't have much opportunity to perform live throughout the pandemic.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I have my own company, and what we did over COVID was we did murder mysteries for corporations through Zoom. So over the last 3 years, I've been doing a lot of Zoom acting, which is
a whole different beast.
Exactly. A lot different from, you know, getting up on stage and actually being in a space with people. So after having that, you know, it was, don't get me wrong, it was great. You know, Zoom acting definitely has its time and place, but I love the variety of being able to sort of explore the different mediums. So I'm super happy to be here with the Lakeside Players, and they have just been absolutely wonderful.
Like,
it's been so good.
Anna's great. Anna is Maid Marian in our production of Robin Hood. So she has a bit of an important role to do.
Yeah. I was just going to get into your roles, actually. So if you'd like to talk a bit about each of your roles in the specific production.
Yeah, well, like Jack said, I am Maid Marian. I'm sort of the, I guess, how would you describe Maid Marian? She's...
Marian is definitely, like, the protagonist in our version of Robin Hood.
She's definitely, like, the go-getter. She's kind of the one who is running around talking to people, trying to get things done and rally the people and that sort of thing. So that's been a lot of fun to be, you know, a driving force, you know, a woman with agency in a play is always wonderful. So yeah, that's been super great.
Mm-hmm,
definitely. So I'm the Cortes director of the company, and mm-hmm. I'm also the director of this show. So I'm not a performer in it, but I have directed the piece. So it's mm-hmm. very much my conception. I also helped write a lot of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like something you should know about how some of the ways we've changed the show and
mm-hmm.
how Marion has become more focal in our version. We started this process when we were writing it of immediately deciding that the Sheriff of Nottingham, who is the villain of the show,
mm-hmm.
And Robin Hood would be played by the same actor.
Ooh,
cool. Which is partly just to make the show silly, but it mm-hmm. also led to some other like interesting discoveries of how the show plays out. And when you watch the show, that for it to be done by the same actor, I think like subliminally tells a story of its own. And that's someone named Andrew, and he is also one of the writers of the show. So Robin Hood is a character more dealing with his own kind of privilege in the
mm-hmm.
show and realizing that he's maybe not the hero of his own story
mm-hmm.
while Marion is actually putting in the work. And, you know, so we're just trying to mix that up a lot.
Definitely, yeah. And then I was really curious, just because you guys do everything outside,
mm.
and you're saying one of the particular challenges is just the heat purely and just all the things that come along with being outside. So I want you to talk a bit about just the differences you find between being in a theater, being outside, the different challenges, what you enjoy about it, all those things.
I will say the thing that jumps out to me right away is we all know that Kingston is a very windy city.
Yes.
And the wind blows in every direction here. So our set is sort of a series of curtains, and
yep.
they do have mm-hmm. weights on the bottom, but the wind is strong. And sometimes, you know, Jack will, I think he likes to be watching the show, but sometimes he has to jump backstage and just like hold the curtains while the scene is going on. And there was one time we did the show like 2 days ago and the wind was crazy and he was just back there the entire time with his arms up. Probably was very tiring, but
it's good workout for the delts.
Yeah,
shoulders
sure.
getting a workout
absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. So, you know, the wind is one thing, the heat definitely too. It like we said, sometimes it gets a little bit sweaty, but I like to think that that just adds to the realism
mm-hmm.
Of the piece. Everyone's running around in the forest doing fun things. So yeah, it's really great. And then also too, it's so fun to have, you know, we're doing it in the park, and so people are coming and going and they're walking by, and
mm-hmm.
it's great to see, you know, people come up and they're just like, oh, what's going on here? And they take a seat and then they stay for the whole show. And that's like, that's very, very special for us as, you know, actors to sort of see people coming and being engaged.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's public art. It's
yeah.
yeah, very accessible.
And in so doing, like in terms of the difference of indoor and outdoor,
mm-hmm.
we try to embrace a sort of informal environment.
Mm-hmm.
So we're also trying to offer something that maybe someone who isn't as experienced with theater would feel comfortable
mm-hmm.
just popping by in the park for a few minutes and going, oh, this is neat, but then they can walk away. We're not kind of saying, you have to watch it this way. So we kind of take those people that pass by as if you watched it for 5 minutes, that's what you saw of the show, and that's
mm-hmm.
okay with us.
Yeah, I love
yeah.
that. And then you mentioned that you did Kick and Push last year as well,
yeah.
but how did you end up getting involved with Kick and Push in the first place?
I mean, I think there were a series of connections, but the root of it was that the Kick and Push in 2020 put out a call for submissions,
mm-hmm.
kind of saying, it's the pandemic, we don't really know what theater looks like right now, but if you think you have an idea of what theater looks like right now, you can pitch it to us. And so a lot of people were pitching kind of these digital shows, and we had been developing the style of kind of outdoor shows for smaller audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually pitched Robin Hood that year, and we weren't able to make it work that year because of it was just a big ask.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought our other show that we'd already made. But that was how it started, was just saying, do you want to try and do live theater still? This is how we think we can do it. And they ran with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. And mm-hmm. I feel like it's too general to just ask about the show itself, but I like to ask performers usually for
mm-hmm.
a favorite moment on or off stage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel like there's so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's really fun because of the informal style is that if something goes wrong or something is amiss,
mm-hmm.
like, it's very fun to see my fellow actors sort of address it in character.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day we had a piece of the set that almost got knocked down, and Andrew, who plays the sheriff in Robin Hood, basically was like, oh my gosh, like, this place is falling apart, but like, but it worked really well within the context of the scene. So that was really cool. And then I guess just like sometimes things don't go the way that you think that they're going to go, and then somebody improv something hilarious and you're like, oh my gosh, that should, like, somebody forgot to bring on a chair, and then there was a line where it's like, can we offer you a seat, and so the actor ran off stage and like came and like tossed the chair onto the stage, and it was like a new comedic moment. So probably, you know, something like that, just the things that happen that you don't expect, and it's a little piece of theater magic.
Definitely, yeah.
I'm going to cheat and say three. So one, I love, there's a moment where it's very fun. We have, in the spirit of Robin Hood, we have a quarterstaff fight, which are like 6-foot sticks, essentially. So that's always fun. I think people love to see a bit of action in a show. Mm-hmm. And like the sound of it also attracts people, I think, in the parks that we're in. They kind of hear this thing. And I've noticed sometimes people go like, what's that sound? And they kind of get drawn over. Also, I'm a big fan of how we do the archery in the show, because you can't shoot a bow and arrow in the park, like, we have our own way of doing it, and I just always find it, I think people, the kind of laugh that we get from the audience is usually one of like, oh that's very clever, and like they have fun with it. And then also, I don't want to give away too much, but at the end of the show we finally have a scene where Robin Hood and the sheriff confront each other in the same scene, being played by the same actor. And that's probably my favorite part of the show. It is ridiculous.
Those were all really good ones. Okay, and Anna, I want to quickly ask you, because you're a Queen's student, actually. Did you want to talk a bit about what you're studying here?
Yeah, for sure. So I am in my fifth year, and I am in MAP, which is the Media and Performance Production program, which is essentially half film and half theater courses. So I definitely have a very fun mishmash of, you know, film stuff, acting classes, that sort of thing. I'm just sort of finishing up now some miscellaneous electives online. But yeah, it's been absolutely great. Obviously, for the past couple of years, we've been online. Yeah. And so things have been a little bit different than I was expecting them to be. But overall, like, I'm very happy with, you know, how great the profs have been at adapting the programs to sort of still get across, you know, the criteria of what we need to learn. So, yeah, it's been great.
Absolutely. And then we've been jumping around a bit, but I think now that they know what you're up to now with Robin Hood, with school, with everything, how did both of you get your start in performing arts?
Oh, goodness me. There we go. Would you like getting to continue on first, Anna?
Yeah, sure. So as a kid, I wasn't very into sports because I was afraid of things flying at me. I would just flinch, and I was, you know, so that didn't really work out. But then I figured out that I could do theater. I was I love to read. And so whenever I found out, oh, I can just act out stories with other people, why haven't I been doing this? So I did my first show whenever I was about 10 years old. And then from there, I've been doing shows every single year as much as I can. So yeah.
Very nice.
Okay, Cole's notes. So I believe at 6 years old, I was taken to see Tap Dogs, which is a group of Australian tap dancers. So fun. And I just kind of said, I want to do that. And so my mom put me in tap dancing classes. And so I actually then kind of had an on and off again relationship, but eventually pursued dance. And actually I worked as a professional, I still work as a professional dancer as well. And then kind of through that, I started branching into stage combat and fight direction, which is actually where I got introduced to theater more directly. Because when doing that, we would do these scenes as part of these stage fights. And I was like, oh, these scenes are neat. And then I started looking at theater schools, and I ended up going to George Brown Theater School in Toronto. But that was after having worked as a dancer for years. So I kind of felt a bit more grounded as a performer, which I think I really appreciated. And then I've kind of continued. I teach there now, funny enough, at George Brown College.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So it's all come full circle. Yeah, exactly.
Love that. And then, so for Robin Hood, how many shows have you guys done so far? I know it's hard to...
Five?
I think around, yeah.
I think we have five, and then we have another, like, five this week and four next week. Wow. So there's still, like, another nine shows.
There is a lot. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so people can catch it at a lot of different times.
Yes.
And then how can people keep up with Lakeside Players and what both of you are doing?
We have a wonderfully curated Instagram page at the Lakeside Players. And you can find updates from that there. We also have a website at thelakesideplayers.com. And so we have like an upcoming events page on there where we have show dates and stuff like that. Also, if they want to find out about this, they can go to the Kick and Push's website or Instagram. I believe it's all at the Kick and Push for anything. And they can find out, you know, where when the shows in City Park are in particular, if they wanted to come by.
Okay, or Anna, did you have anything?
No, that was great. Thank you, Jack.
Hey.
All right, fantastic. So that was all the questions I had for both of you today. So thank you very much for sitting down with me.
Thanks, Christina. Yeah,
thank you.
That was director Jack Rennie and performer Anna Villeneuve in the Lakeside Players rendition of Robin Hood. Being performed every single day until this Thursday, August 18th, as part of the 2022 Kick and Push Festival. Be sure to head to thekickandpush.com for the full program schedule.
Taking a look at your weather for the week, looks like the heat is back with us. A mix of sun and cloud in store for tomorrow, slight chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm, the high getting up to 27. Basically the same story for Wednesday, sun and clouds, slight chance of a shower, the high 27. And Thursday as well, sun and clouds, chance of a shower, getting all the way up to 28. And it looks like a little bit cooler heading into the weekend with a high of 26 on Friday under a mix of sun and clouds. Taking a look at the roads, Victoria Street from Brock to Mac will be closed until August 25th as crews work to install a new sanitary sewer system as well as some road reconstruction work. Also, you can expect delays from Glen Cove. Also, expect delays on Glen Cove Street from Lashford to Prince Charles as crews work on some road resurfacing. As well, Glenmore Avenue, Lashford Street, Center Street, Cross Street, Britt Street. From Center to Collins Bay, expect delays as some road resurfacing takes place. Thank you for listening to The Scoop this week on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario, on the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee people. You can find previous episodes of The Scoop by going to cfrc.ca.